Shilu Atmei Min Amachneh. Is it Parshas Nasa? Yes.
After Shkia, happy birthday. Is that after Shkia, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Do it after.
Blow out a lot of candles.
No. You should have a little, Chavi. Do one candle.
Okay.
What does this make sense? Yeah, they're all one big one.
See, at the end of every mitzvah, he puts in parentheses where it is in the Chumash and where it is in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. So this is in Parshas Naso. Shalcha min amachna kol tzoro v'chumzol v'chachomi lo nofesh. There are three different levels of tumah. The tzoroim are not allowed to enter any ayaras on the kafes chayim in Yisrael shul nun, including Yerushalayim. And a zav, he's not allowed to enter, he's permitted to enter Yerushalayim, but he's not permitted to enter Harabais. And Tomei Nefesh, Minatora, Tomei Meis, Grol Tomei Meisim, Tomei Meis is Minatora's mutter to enter Harabais, but he's not allowed to enter the Azara. So that's what the Gemara says, the three Tomeiim, and the word Machna appears there three times. So the Gemara says, the three different levels. Tomei Meis is not allowed to enter Machna Shechina, one who has a tumah yotzal and migufa, zav zav and nidi aledus and mitzera. Those people are called tumah yotzal and migufa. Tumah develops in the body, not allowed to enter the harabais. And the mitzera is only tummy if the kohen declares him as tummy. Let's say a person has a negat saras and the kohen never declared him as tummy, so he's tohar. So funny, he did. So tumah yotzal and migufa, but it's not chal, the tumah is only chal if the kohen declares him as. So that's the shaila. We're all Tamei Mason, but not a Zav. A Zav is a person, a Balkari, okay. If a person has Sheikh Lazer comes out from his body, he's a Balkari. But he can go to Mikveh, Balkari can go to Mikveh. A Zav has to have Maim Chaim. But a Zav is a sickness. A person would know he has, if he has Ziv. So the people are not Zav. So let a man wants to go into the Harabayas. He'll go to the mikveh and he'll be tohar. He's only a tamei meis. And tamei meis is the whole harabais is mutter for tamei meis. And the rabbanim divide the harabais into three different parts. Tamei meis is not allowed to enter the inner part, but the outer part, the first section, the first two sections, the harabais and tamei meis is permitted to enter. So this is a question that the Sfardish Achrayim raised in the 1500s, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Kalb. Why don't people go to mikveh and go to the harabais? They should be allowed to go in the beginning parts of the Harabais. That's when Rabbi Gorin made a whole tunnel. He went into the Harabais. The Pashta says he should be allowed to go. If you go to Mikveh, he's no longer not a Zav. He would have gone to a doctor. If he has Ziva, he would have seen a doctor. He's not a Zav. About can we go to Mikveh, so you're not Tomei anymore. Okay, why aren't people going to the Mikveh and going into the beginning of the Harabais? So one of the early Achranim from the Sfardish Achranim from the 1500s, he writes that Midrabanan and Am Haaretz has a tumma like a Zav. That's a din in the Gemara. So what's the definition of Am Haaretz? A different opinion. So one Tana says an Am Haaretz is one who doesn't give his children a Torah education. Another one says an Am Haaretz is a person who's not careful about the Kriya Shema. But we are careful. We say Kriya Shema, we send our children to Torah education. So why should I be an Amoritz? So there's another opinion in the Gemara that in the definition of Amoritz, in the days of the Bai Sheni, towards the end of the Bai Sheni period, the Chacham made a they declared all Ami Ha'oritz of Tmei. What's the definition of Amoritz? So there are different opinions in the Tana. So one Tana says, an individual who's not careful about Tum and Tara. So that's what this Svardish person came up with in the 1500s, the reason why we don't go to mikveh and go to the harabayas, go to the mikveh no longer about Keri, and then he's only a tamei meis. Tamei meis is prohibited from going into inner parts of the harabayas. Why can't he go to the outer part? He says, no, because we all have a din of a zav nidirabbanan, because an amoritz is din ikizav, but we're not amoritz. They say, every time you touch something that's tamei, we ought to go to mikveh. We don't go to mikveh. It means that we're not careful about tumah v'tara. So whoever's not careful about tumah v'tara has a din of has a din like a zav. That's a big chiddush. Not careful about Tumah V'Tahor means when it's relevant. What do you mean we're not careful? We're not eating Truma, we're not eating Maisa Sheni, we're not entering the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tuma. Why should I have to become Tahor? So this was a Chiddush that they came up with. An individual is not careful with Tumah V'Tahor, even though he's not violating any din at all. He has a din of an Am Haaretz, and Am Haaretz has a Tumah like a Zab Midrabban, that's why you're not allowed to go. So this was Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank. Was when Rav Kook was alive, he was one of the big poskim in the Rav Anuk. Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank was a very great Goyen. He was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Levin, married to two sisters. And he quotes this in his Jewish, this idea. And he argues with it. He says he doesn't think that it's correct. If an Am Haaretz is Dina Kizav, then we shouldn't allow the Am Haaretz to enter the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say that anywhere. They never let Am Haaretz enter the Beis HaMikdash. And Am Haaretz is Din like a Zav if he touches a Chavir, if he touches someone else, that the other guy should act as if an Adam Tomei just touched him. But we don't say that the Am Haaretz is Dina Kizav, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. That never says anywhere. Anyway, that was a big issue. That is a big issue. Why the practice always was that people wouldn't go to the Har HaBayis. What are you worried about? What tumah can he have? Tumas meis is mutar in the first section of the Har HaBayis. Tumas zav he doesn't have, that's a disease. Tumas bakir can go to mikveh, what's the problem? That's a big chiddush to say that an Am HaAretz is one is not nizam and tumah v'tahor, even though he's not violating anything. And therefore, dina kizav, and therefore he's not allowed to enter Har HaBayis. Very questionable. Okay, that's mitzvah lamed aleph. What's mitzvah lamed beis is the pasuk from Parshas Hamor, v'kidashto, we should be mechabed the kohanim. Ki eslechem alekecho hu makriv. We have to be mechabed the kohanim because they're makriv karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. It sounds from the way the pasuk reads that if a kohen is a balmum and he's not kosher, to be makir kabbalah, that there is no mitzvah v'kidash. That's what it sounds like. Because it says v'kidash, v'kiyas lech melekem, because he's roi l'akir kabbalah. Yeah, what's included in this din v'kidash tam? So we say we should be mechabed the coin to bench mezun. Mechabed the coin to get the first aliyah. Either Mishnah in Gittin says you give the coin the first aliyah as a takana de rabbanan, if they dark in shalom. Doesn't say that it's a din deraisa. So the Gemara says no. The din mederaisa is that you have to give the kohen the first aliyah. But the natar he can be mechel on his kavod. So the rabbanan they said it's not a smart idea that the kohen should be mechel on his kavod, because one Shabbos is going to be a big bar mitzvah and they have a lot of people that need aliyahs or an oifruf or something. They need a lot of aliyahs. The kohen will be mechel on his kavod. Next week there'll be a different simcha and he won't be mechel on his kavod. So the second family will be angry at the kohen. How come last week you weren't moichel on the kavod, this week you're not moichel on the kavod? Why last week they're more important family than we are? So that's why we don't permit the kohen to be moichel on his kavod with the rabbanon. That's what it says in the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, in this din we don't allow the kohen to be moichel on his kavod with the rabbanon because it may cause friction. One time he will be moichel, one time he won't. But at Torah he may be moichel with the rabbanon. We don't allow. We don't allow it only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the shul is crowded when everybody's there. And the weekdays the shuls are not so crowded. So it's a Monday or Thursday the kohen may be mechel on his kavod. That's how it says in the Gemara. So the Bali Atosis write that during their lifetime, in the days of the Bali Atosis, the communities in France and Germany were very tiny. There were communities where there was no minyan. There was a city, all the people in the city were not Jewish. There was one Jewish family in the whole city. So the Crusaders killed, they wiped out a lot of communities, but there weren't so many people in all the communities. 25 people in the whole community, 30 people. Not like the Nazis killed millions and millions and millions of people. The Nazis killed 6 million Jews that they kept a record of. They killed more than 6 million Jews that they didn't keep a record of. They kept numbers and addresses and names and everything. That's 6 million. There were many more than 6 million that killed. Right after the Second World War was over, the historian said they killed 9 million Jews, probably more than 9 million Jews. Used to shoot indiscriminately, used to shoot a lot of Jews. So the Balei HaTos is saying that by them, the shul is just as crowded on Monday and Thursday as it is on Shabbos. There are not more people coming to shul Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the din applies. The kohen is not allowed to be moichel on his kavod, even on Sheni v'Chamish, because it's just as crowded there. But Moshe Feinstein writes that by Maseinu HaRabim today, we're back to the way it was in the days of the Gemara. The shuls are much more crowded on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The weekdays, a lot of shuls are empty. There's barely a minyan there. And Moshe Feinstein says that today, the din reverts back to the way it was in the days of the Tanoim, that the kohen is not permitted to be moichel on his kavod. Is only a din on Shabbos and Yom Tov when the shuls are crowded. On the weekdays, the kohen maybe is permitted to be moichel on his kavod. That's what it says in the Gemara. So now you look at the Rambam here. The Rambam says, "Ikidashto." The Gemara says, "Bal korcho." So the Rambam says, "What does mean ikidashto bal korcho?" The kohen is not permitted to be moichel on his kavod. Kidashto. It's around the fifth line here. Loshen Hasifrei v'kidashta bal korcha loymar kizeh hatzivui nitztabena bo. We are obligated to be mechab ve'ena b'chiras hakayim. He has no choice. He has no right to be mechab. According to the Gemara, it's not so. This Rambam is against the Gemara. He says v'kidashta bal korcha is not allowed to be mechab on his kavod. The Gemara understands it differently. V'kidashta bal korcha means a different thing. If a kohen is married to a grusha. So we should force him, we should pressure him, bal kochai, to divorce the wife. We shouldn't allow him to remain married to a grusha. If the kohen gadol is married to an almana, which is keneged adin, v'kidashta bal kochai, but v'kidashta to be mechaber the kohen, that the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara Gittin says, he does have the right to be mechaber. So they ask on the Rambam, why did the Rambam give this new interpretation? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, v'kidashta bal kochai only goes on being kai for the kind if he married an isha hasura like. So that's a problematic Rambam. Mitzvah l'amigimel is an interesting mitzvah. The Kohanim should wear big dekunim when they do hakrovas hakarbonis. And the purpose of wearing big dekunim, says in Chumash, is it should be l'chobed ol l'sefaris. It should be very, it should be dignified and glorified. You shouldn't come in every day with shorts or with this guy, a white suit, a black suit, different color. No, have to wear big dekuna, fancy big dekuna. And the Rambam quotes it during the Gemara, "Bizbanchi bigdeim aleim kunosim aleim," because the pasuk says we should dress up the kohenim with big dekuna v'chihanu li. If they wear big dekuna, then they'll have a din of kahuna. So the Gemara understands from the phrase in the pasuk. If the kohen is wearing big dekuna, he has a din of a kohen. Ein big deim aleim, ein kunosim aleim. If he's not wearing big dekuna, he doesn't have a din of a kohen. So that's a famous story that's related in the Mordechai in Gittin. The Rabbi Natam had a lot of students. So on one occasion, one of the students was a kohen. They didn't have a faucet to turn on water. You had to draw water and you had to take a cup and take water from the bucket and wash your hand. It was all production until recently. So we have pipes and we have water coming out of the pipes. Hot water coming out of the pipe, cold water coming out of the pipe. Days of Rabbi Natan, they didn't have it. So once Rabbi Natan wanted to wash for bread, so Koyin filled up a cup of water and he poured it on his hand. Rabbi Natan had a student, Rabbi Peter and Tom. Rabbi Natan had a student, Rabbi Peter. And Rabbi Peter asked Rabbi Natan, "You're not allowed to." The Yerushalmi is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Nisias Kapayim. At the end of Siman Kuf Chav Ches, there's one Siman in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim by Shachris that has all the dinim of Duchenim, the Siyas Kapayim. So the last Ramah in Siman Kuf Chav Ches quotes this passage from the Yerushalmi, "Hamishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al," one who has a kohen service him, the kohen holds the door for me, or he carries a luggage for me, or he helps me in some way or another, I'm a violation of Me'ilah, just like you're not allowed to use Hegdish for your own purposes. So Kohanim have Kedusha, so you're not allowed to use the Kohanim to help you out. So he asked the Rabbi Natam, "How can you permit the Kohen to pour the water on your head?" Rabbi Natam answered, "He's not wearing big dekunis, so there's bunch of big day malayim, ain't kunos malayim, so there's no isa." So Rabbi Peter asked the Rabbi Natam, "So the Kohen should be allowed to marry a Grusha? If he's not wearing big dekunis, he should be allowed to go to the cemetery? How can it be? He can't eat truma unless he's wearing big dekuna. It's not true. You only have to wear big dekuna in order to be makir karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have to wear big dekuna to have a din of a kohen." So Rabbi Natan gave a different answer, And he said, he's merchel on his covet. Merchel on his covet, so it's mutter. So the question is, why did he give the first answer if it's not true, not correct? He said that the prohibition, hamishtamish b'kuna mo'al, only applies if he's wearing big dikun. But it's not true, even if he doesn't wear big dikun. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying his pshat. The Aruch HaShulchan has this pshat also there in the end of Siman Kuf Chav Ches, Hilchas Nisias Kapai. So he says, why did the Talmud Yerushalmi use an expression, Mishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al, he's in violation of Me'ilah? Should have said, Asa l'shtamesh b'kohana. Me'ilah is a din that only applies in Kotche HaMikdash. In the base, something belongs to Hegdish, in the base HaMikdash, you're not allowed to violate Me'ilah. So the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say like this, there are two levels of Kedushas Kunin. There's Kedushas Kunin Shebamigdosh, and there's Kedushas Kunin Shebigvulin. So Kedushas Kunin Shebigvulin, for that you don't need Big De Kuhuna. And that's enough. That Kedushas Kunin is enough to enable you to eat Shuma, and to be prohibited to be Metam Elamesim, and that you're not allowed to marry a Grusha, and you get the first Aliyah, you can do Pidyon Ben. That's the normal din. Kedushas Kunin Shebigvulin, all over the world. In order to be makir karbonis, you have to have a higher level of kedushas kuhuna, kedushas kuhuna shebamigdosh. So there is a din. B'zman shebigdeim aleim kunasim aleim, ein bigdeim aleim ein kunasim aleim. So that's what Rabbi Natam originally answered. The first answer was also correct. Rabbi Nepeta didn't understand it. First answer was correct. B'zman shei bigdeim aleim, he doesn't have the coin, doesn't have kedushas kuhuna shebamigdosh, and this din hamishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al. Me'il only applies in Kotche HaMikdosh. So the first answer Rabbi Natam gave was correct. Rabbi Peter asked the question, so Rabbi Natam said, okay, I'll give you another explanation. The Kohen was Mechel on his cover, but the both answers are correct.
Is it understood nowadays that a Kohen is going to be Mechel on his cover? Because nobody's going around like asking a Kohen before they do something, how
to
do anything.
You really shouldn't ask the Kohen to do anything, but if he does, you're allowed to receive the service because he's not wearing big dekuna. These Michael, both reasons are correct, yeah.
Doesn't the same din apply to your Rebbe? You shouldn't ask your Rebbe to do anything for you?
Out of cover to the Rebbe? Okay. Yeah. Out of cover to the Rebbe? Probably. Okay. So that's the mitzvah to wear big dekuna. Some of the big dekuna contain shatnas. The avnet of the Kohen Hedyot has shatnas. So the Rambam writes, in Mishneh Torah, it's only permissible for the Kohen to wear the Avne before he does, when he puts on the Big Dekuna, if he plans to do Avodah. The second he finishes doing Avodah, he has to remove the Avne because of the Shatnas. It's only mutter to wear it when he's fulfilling the mitzvah. The mitzvah wearing Big Dekuna only applies when he's planning to do Avodah. If he already did it, he can put on the Avne half an hour before he does the Avodah. But once he finishes the Avodah, there's no longer a mitzvah to wear the big dekuna. So it's eser dechel, eses not dechel. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. And he says, no, he thinks the shatnas and big dekuna is hutra. It's not the chuyah. It's not that the mitzvah of wearing big dekuna takes off the yisa. That's like eser dechel, eses. The mitzvah of wearing big dekuna is only in order to do hakrobas, hakrobonas. The big dekuna were exempted from the prohibition of shatnas. That's 2 days in Pesach. That's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. However, the Rambam seems to only require this by Kohen Hedyot. When he finishes the Avodah, he has to take off the Avnet immediately, not to violate shatnas. So the Kohen Gadol wears other big dekuna. Kohen Gadol has Shmoyne Begotim. Kohen Hedyot only has Dalet Begotim. Kohen Gadol, several of the Shmoyne Begotim are shatnas. The Rambam never says he has to take off the big day kuhuna. Where's the big day kuhuna all day long? How come? So there are two different explanations, famous explanations. Beis Halevi has the following explanation. The Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz that says Kodesh Lashem. And the Pasuk says that when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, Menasa Haron Esavon HaKohadim HaKodashim. When Aaron HaKohen wears the tzitz, so if they brought a carbon, the tumah, the carbon will be possible. Unless the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, then the carbon is kosher. So there's a machlokes hatanaim, and we paskin like the Tana, the tzitz is only meratza on the karbonis if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. If the Kohen Gadol went to sleep, and they have the tzitz sitting there in a box in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not machshir the karbon. It's only meratza. That's called ritzitzitz. Tzitzit is only meratzah, it's only makshir, the karbanos that are brought in the state of tumah when the kohen gadol is wearing it. So the Beis HaLevi thinks that if he just wears the tzitzit alone, that's not good enough. He has to wear all the shemayim begadim. So therefore, the kohen gadol has a mitzvah to wear the shemayim begadim all day long in order to be meratzah on the karbanos. In case any kohen, anyone will bring a karban in the state of tumah, so the tzitzit will be makshir the karban. So the Kohen Gadol has the mitzvah all day and all night. Whenever he wears the Shemayim Begadim, the tzitz alone is not meratzah, the Beis HaLevi thinks. The Talmud Tosfos said the tzitz alone is meratzah. You don't need all the Shemayim Begadim. But the Beis HaLevi is trying to explain the Rambam. He thinks that according to the Rambam, the reason why the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah to wear the tzitz, the big dekuna, all day long, is because the tzitz is only meratzah in conjunction with all the other big dekuna. Otherwise it's mechus begadim. And that's the mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol, to wear the tzitz and to wear a big dekuna all day long, to be meratzah on the karbonos. Rav Soloveitchik used to suggest maybe he was named after the Beis HaLevi. He was named after the Beis HaLevi, but he didn't always agree with the Beis HaLevi. So he used to say, you don't necessarily have to say like the Beis HaLevi said, you need all the Shemayim Begadim. Could be the tzitz alone as meratzah. But still, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdosh, that the function of the Kohen Gadol is, he should be like part of the furniture in the Beis HaMikdash. Kvoda v'sefarto, he should be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. He's not allowed to sit in the Azor, you have to stand. He should be there supervising all the hakravas, hakarbanas. He doesn't have to wear all the shemayim begadim in order to be meratzah on the karbanas that are brought to tumah. Maybe the tzitz alone is good. But without that, forget about the tzitz being meratzah. There's a mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol to wear to be in the Beis HaMikdash, to wear his big dekuna gedola, the chovod of sefaros, all day long to supervise everything in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why the Rambam only has this azhara that the Kohen has to remove the chagorah, he has to remove the avdei. By the way, he only has it by the Kohen Hedyah. By the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to remove it, because all day long he's mekayim the mitzvah to wear big dekuna gedola.
Shatnez, are you
allowed
to hold
shatnez?
Like, let's say it's in a carpet or something in your house,
wouldn't
be able to hold that?
You can hold it, yeah. You're not allowed to. There are two psukim regarding shatnez, and there are two prohibitions. The one iser is lasil b'shatnez, and the other pasuk is beggar climb shatnez lo yala olecha. Let's say I have a towel that's made from shatnez, and I'm walking, I just went swimming. I'm going to wear a towel on my shoulder. So that's not wearing it. Let's say I sit in a barber chair and I don't want to get the hair all over my clothes. So they put a big sheet on top of the cover. So that's not levisha, but that's ha'aloh. Let's say I sleep in bed and the blanket on top of me is shatnez. So that's an issa ha'aloh. Bigger kalim shatnez lo yala olechem. There's a din of ha'aloh. There's a big machlokes regarding tzitzis. There's a mitzvah to wear, to put tzitzis on the four corner garment that you wear. What if you have a four-cornered blanket that you cover yourself with? So is there a mitzvah to put tzitzis on a four-cornered beggar that you're doing ha'aloh on? Or is it only on levisha? So most assume that it's only on levisha. Morgan Abraham, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tzitzis, quotes some obscure rishon. It's not from the famous rishonim, not Rashi Abayin Atam, nobody that we ever heard of. One of the rishonim says, just like by shatnez, there are two dinim. There's a din of levisha and a din of halah, so by tzitzis as well. If you have a blanket that you cover yourself with, a four-cornered blanket, so you should really put tzitzis on.
What about like a car? If your car seating is somehow shatnez, you're sitting on it?
Minatari, there's no prohibition with the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to sit on a blanket. Not allowed to sit on a blanket, a shatnez, because we're concerned shemit yicharach lo nima. Maybe part of the upholstery, let's say, on the chair, maybe part of it will become detached from the bottom and curl up on top of his leg. That's how I tell the story. The stipler was always very machmer and everything. So the Chazanish had up to something like 14 brothers and sisters in his family. And all the brothers were Rabbanim, and all the sisters married Rabbanim. His father was a Talmid Chacham also. So the Chazon Ish met the stipler when he was a young man, and he recommended that he should take out his sister. So he had to travel by train to take out to go on the date. So he was going to sit down on the, it was a long trip, he was going to sit down on the train. Then he realized, has upholstery on the chair. Maybe it's shatnas. Come on, it's not shatnas. The stapler was always choshish for every wild things. So he stood the whole time on the trip. And when he went on the date with the girl, he fell asleep in the middle of the day. So the girl didn't want to marry him. I'm shugging it. He falls asleep on the day. And Hazani said, no, don't throw him out so fast. He's a big tomahawk. So she married him. They lived together happily for many years. Yeah. So that he was always machma and everything. Yeah.
How is a talus different than a blanket?
How is a talus
different than a blanket? Because a talus is just a massive blanket.
But you walk around, it's a piece of clothing.
And so if you wear, if you, let's say, I'm Shabbos afternoon.
Pajamas are clothing, but a blanket is not really clothing.
But if you, on Shabbos afternoon, if you're like on the couch with a blanket and then you get up to get tea, and then you're technically wearing it for coffee.
Yeah, but a blanket is not clothing. You're warming yourself with the blanket, but that's not a clothing. It's not wearing apparel. So that's a machlekes, but it's chayv and tzitzis. Shatnas is a problem. Bigger klai and shatnas lo yala alecha. Ha'alo is also.
Would just one string would make the baguette also just one string of wool linen, or it has to be a certain amount of like shatnas?
No, let's say the whole garment is linen. You have one thread of wool. Let's say a woman has a gown, a wedding gown, and a long train, dripping on the floor, 5 feet long, and there's one thread of wool at the end of the linen gown, or one thread of linen at the end of the woolen one next shot. So the whole gown is shot. That's a din yeri there.
Can you get it removed?
Yeah, you take out. You can identify the thread. You take it out. Yes. Then there's a din mid the rabbanon of shatan. There's a lot of dinim mid the rabbanon of shatan. So one of the dinim is, if you're wearing two pieces of clothing, one is wool, one is linen, and you can't take off the bottom piece of clothing without first taking off the top one, so that's shatan mid the rabbanon. On the level of the raisa, the tzemer and the pishtim are not mechuba yachtov. So that's not shatan mid the rabbanon, that's a problem. So that's a question. If you have woolen socks and you're wearing shoes and the shoes are sewed together with linen stitches, so one of the recent svarim, they're looking for chumis, they're digging under the ground for chumis. So someone came up with such an idea, since you can't take off the woolen sock without taking off the shoe is not made from linen, but the shoe is sewed together with linen, so maybe that's also us. The pashtus isn't, that's a joke. But if you have two socks, one on top of the other, and you can't take off the bottom sock without taking off the top sock, and one of them is wool and one of them is linen, that says in Yeridea, that's a Yerushalmi, that says in Yeridea, that's shatnas mid the rabbanon. Mitzvah lamed daled. When you move in the midbar, they were traveling, they were Membeis Masois, that's the beginning of Parshas Masei. They traveled from city to city to city to city. The Mogen Avram, in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, at the end of Chelek Dalet, you have Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, and then they have a little bit about special dinim and Kriyas HaTorah over the course of the year. So the Mogen Avram quotes there from one of the Kabbalah Svarim, that you shouldn't be mafsik in the middle of the Membeis Masoi. You shouldn't make any hoisofas there. We have in our siddur, in our chumash, it says sheni after around 10-15 psukim in Parshas Masoi. So Magen Avraham said that's not right. Sheni shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be mafsik in the middle of Membeis Masoi because there, the midrashim talk about the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that has Membeis Oisias. Shem Hashem that has Mem. How can you pronounce a word that has 42 letters? They have in the newspaper sometimes they have these Arab names or Indonesian names, 35 letters or something. So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, the Shem Mem Beis is a sentence. It's not one name. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch. But there is such a concept as a Shem Mem Beis. So the Magen Avraham says, since there are Mem Beis Masois, you shouldn't be mafsik in the middle. Mem Beis Masois Mechuvin Geneg is the Shem Mem Beis of HaKadosh Baruch. So they traveled from one location to the other. When they traveled in the midbar, so they had to carry Avodas HaKadosh Aleim Bakosef Niso. They had to carry the Orein that had the Luchas in it, had to carry it on their shoulders. So they shouted, who carried it? So much of the carrying in the midbar was done by the Levim. And the Rambam says Shetzivano Rasha, the Kohanim have to carry the Aron. So this is a question the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. This was a Hayroa Shah. The Rambam wrote in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he gives you the 14 klolim, the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan atayag or not. So one of his klolim was, you only include mitzvahs that apply the duris, that all the future generations. This was only in the midbar temporarily when they were traveling from one place to the other. After they moved to Yerushalayim, they're not traveling anywhere. So why did the Rambam count it? It's a hirah sure, it's not a din l'duris. So that's a long discussion. Rav Soloveitchik corresponded with, when Rav Soloveitchik was in Berlin, he corresponded with his uncle, Rav Avraham Soloveitchik, on a few issues. Rav Avraham Soloveitchik lived in Brisk at the time. And Rav Soloveitchik's parents were in America already. So this is one of the topics that he wrote about. Why the Rambam included it, isn't it only a Hayroa Shoah? It shouldn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Mitzvah Lamed Hei. The Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to make Shemen HaMishcha, and we should use it for the purposes that it's designated for. What is it designated for? So if you have a king from the Malchut Beis David, you do Mishicha Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. If you have any other king, not from the Malchut Beis David, so they did imitation Mishicha, they would use Shemen Afarsimon, parsimony oil. Parsimony oil comes from a bush. There are berries that grow in a bush, and they squeeze it out to get parsimony oil. About 15, 20 years ago, they had headlines in the New York Times on the first page of the time. They found a jug of parsimony oil in the days of Oso Ha'ish, in the days of Yoshke. And they write, you know what the significance is in the parsimony oil? New York Times has all the news that's fit to print, always has mistakes, always has mistakes. Whenever you are there, whenever you witness something and you read the article, you see it's full of mistakes. Whenever they write something about Israel, always wrong. All the details are always wrong. I remember them once writing up about Breuer's, that Breuer's shul made a new base medrash, and they had Achnas and Sefer Torah, and they had dancing in the street. So they have to write who the people on Breuer's are. So they write the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people, but the modern ultra-Orthodox, they don't have beards like the Hasidim. They shaved their beards with a ram's horn. They must have asked, "Where? How'd you get your beard?" So the guy said, "Use a shaver." A shaver? So a shaver is a ram's horn. Other crazy things. Whenever I have three daughters live in Eretz Yisrael, so whenever they write something up, and one of my daughters was there, they say it's always wrong. The way they describe, always wrong. The details are always wrong. So they wrote, when they found this jug of parsimony, or they say, from the days of Yoshke, you know, with the parsimony oil, this is the oil that they used to use to anoint the Davidic kings. It's exactly wrong. The Shemen Mishchas Kodesh was used for Davidic kings. Those who are not Malchei Beis David, they use Shemen parsimony, Shemen Afarsimon, parsimony oil. Anyway, so the Rambam says, Mitzvah Lamed Hei, we should have Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, that's reserved. You're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. It's reserved to anoint the Kohanim from the Malchus Beis David only, at the Malchus HaNevcheres, the special chosen Malchus HaNevcheres, Malchus Beis David, to anoint Kohanim Gedolim. And when the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they did Meshicha on all of the Kelim, Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe, Meshichasa Mekat Shasa. When they did Meshicha, they gave all of the Kelim its special Kedusha like the Kli Shoreis. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, it says in Divrei Hayamim, Yoshio HaMelech was the king, and he decided to be goynes the Shemen HaMishcha in the basement. There was a chamber in the basement. He was goynes the Orim with the Luchas and the Shemen HaMishcha. So how do you have a Kohen Gadol? If there's no Shemen HaMishcha, how do you have a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara has a long discussion. So the Gemara says, Avidosa Mechan Chosim. You tell it, we appoint someone as the Kohen Gadol, but I'm going to put on the Shemana Begadim and do Avodah. So the two ways to make a Kohen Gadol. There's Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha and there's a Merubah B'Begadim. If the Rebbez Nagadol told him, you put on the eight Big Day Kuna Gdaila, you do an Avodah wearing that those Begadim, that makes him into a Kohen Gadol. Is there a difference in the level of Kedusha between the two Kohanim Gedolim? So the Mishnah Megillah says, Mishnah Megillah, the first parak, has a lot of aim bays. So it says, "Ain ben koyim mashuch b'shem anemish chalakoyim rube b'gadim debot abedin b'kangol elo par haba al kol amitzvus." There is a difference. The Torah says, if a private individual is mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, areit chametz b'pesach b'shoigig, areit chel b'dam b'shoigig, he has to bring a korban chatas kizba osira. If the melech does an aver b'shoigig, has to bring soyer nasi. If the kangol was mechal Shabbos, areit chel b'dam b'shoigig. So he has to bring par kohen gadol. So that then only applies if he's a kohen gadol with mashiach b'shem and amishah. If he's a kohen gadol merubah begadim, it's a lower level of kohen gadol. He doesn't have that din. So that's why the Mishnah has a din. Let's say after Yoshua Melech was goynes the shem and amishah. So let's say you have the old kohen gadol. He's retired, but he still has a din like a kohen gadol. You have the new kohen gadol. New kohen gadol is only merubah begadim. The old kohen gadol is a higher level of kedusha. He's a They're both walking down the highway and they bump into a dead body. So it's a meis mitzvah. So the din is that kohen is not allowed to be metame the meis unless it's one of the seven relatives. Kohen Gadol is not even allowed to be metame to the seven relatives. But if it's a meis mitzvah, even the Kohen Gadol is allowed to be metame. So the two kohanim gedolim are walking down the highway. There's no one else there. You don't need both of them to be metame the meis. One of them can take care of it on his own. So the one who has the lesser iser should be metame. Akal akal tchilus. Who has the lesser iser? So the Mishnah says in Nazir, the kohen merubah begadim has a lower level of kohen gadol than as opposed to the kohen mashuch b'shem hamishcha. So the merubah begadim should be metame lemeis as opposed to the mashuch b'shem hamishcha. So that's the din mitzvah lamehei. We should have shem hamishcha to use it when it's necessary. We refer to the Melech HaMashiach. Why is he called the Melech HaMashiach? He's going to be from the Malchei Beis David. And he's the Malchei Beis David have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So there's the question, will we have to anoint him? If the din is that if you have a Melech Ben Melech, if his father, if he got the Malchus Birusha from his father, then he does need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, unless there's a Machlokes. Like when David HaMelech was about to die, so the children were fighting amongst themselves who should take over the malchus. So whenever there's machlokes, even though the one who gets the birusha, you have to have mashiach b'shem and amishcha. If there's no machlokes, we assume when the melech hamashiach will come, there probably won't be any machlokes. But the question is he called the melech ben melech? For so many generations, there was no melech. There was no melech by the Jewish people. They say he's a melech ben melech because he yarshined it and there's no machlokes. But he's saying, no, he's going to need Mashiach. Because his father wasn't a melech. He yarshined it from 20, 30 generations earlier. 100 generations earlier. So that's a big question. The Svarim are right. They're not sure whether Melech HaMashiach is going to need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha or not. Is he considered a melech and melech that he does need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha or not?
How could it be possible that we took on Kohen Gadol's?
I said the example, the Kohen Merubah Begadim, the Kohen Mashuch B'Shem and HaMishcha, retired, he's old. But you don't fire him, he still has all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. And then they appointed a new one. But the new one doesn't have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, because the Begadim is the Shemin, towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon. So the Mishnah has that case, the old Kohen Gadol with the new one are walking down the highway, and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah. And you don't need both of them to bury him. You only need one of them. So who should be metame? The one who has the lesser isa. Let's say someone is a chayla mesukan. You have to take him to the hospital on Shabbos. You have to be mechal Shabbos or pikuach nefesh. Whenever you do chilul Shabbos or pikuach nefesh, you should do hakala kal chilul. You should try to minimize as much as possible the isa. Let's say you have to eat tray for food in order to save your life. A person's in a concentration camp. And they're giving all the Jews tray for food. You have no choice. You have to eat the tray for food. But they give you a choice. You can either eat this or this. So one is chazer and one is chaylev. So chaylev is an isa koris. Chazer is a lesser isa. There's no koris. Mara says, what if you have tevel and truman? They're both misa b'dei shamayim. A zar eats truman is misa b'dei shamayim. And anybody eats tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. So we want to discuss which is a bigger isa, which is less of an isa.
Is there a specific reason why Mashiach will come from David and not from like Yehuda, who used to have like the kingship?
Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam singled out David, and he said, if you will be a medaktik b'mitzvahs, the malchus will be from your descendants. Not only that, the Rambam quotes from some medrash, it'll be a descendant. David HaMelech had a lot of wives, and had a lot of children, had a lot of descendants. So the Rambam says the Melech HaMashiach has to be a descendant, not only from David, it has to be a descendant from Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah. Can't be a stamma descendant from David HaMelech.
Do they have to be descended from everyone, like Zerubbabel, like all the way down? Or
no, descended from Shlomo HaMelech is good enough. Doesn't have to be.
What was the Shevin persimmon used for?
What was
the Shevin persimmon, the persimmon oil?
Persimony oil.
Yeah.
Shevin afarsimon they used to anoint kings other than Malchus Beis Dov, Malchus Yisrael.
Why did they need Mashiach?
They wanted. They wanted to have an imitation Mashiach. It should look like their kings, like the Malchus Beis Dov.
Isn't that a Baruch Hashem issue?
Everybody knew that it was a fake. Everybody knew that it's not the real McCoy. And that allowed you to use the Shemin HaMishkan because it's Me'ila. It's reserved only for the Malchus Beis Dov. So the other kings wanted to have Mashiach, so they had imitation Mashiach. The Shemin HaFarsimon.
According to the opinion that Shlomo Malchus sinned at the end of his life, why does the Malchus come from
him? Very good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. But that's what it says in Tanakh. That's the Rambam quotes Midrashim. That's the way the Midrashim understand the Tanakh. The Melech HaMashiach has to be not only a descendant from David, has to be a descendant from Shlomo HaMelech. The Lubavitcher think that their Rebbe, the last Rebbe, was the Melech HaMashiach. Was he? Did they claim that he was a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech? I don't even know. I don't know. Mitzvah Lam and Vav is a very interesting mitzvah. The Ramban doesn't agree with the Rambam in a big way. He has a whole attack against the Rambam. The Gemara, all the Midrashim say, the Gemara says the Kohanim were divided into different families, and the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, there were 24 Mishmaris. And every week, a different family of Kohanim would have the right to do the Avodah. They would switch every Shabbos morning. The old Mishmar would do the Avodah in the beginning, and the new Mishmar would take over on Shabbos morning. And each family, all of these Mishmaris, would do Avodah for 1 week. And twice a year, every 24th week later, had another chance. 24 and 24 is 48. So sometimes the Kohen would have three times a year, he would have a chance. Every Mishmar was divided into six Bate Yavos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Six Bate Yavos, and then Shabbos, most of the Kohanim went home. So all the Bate Yavos functioned on Shabbos all together. And so the Avodah on Friday night and Shabbos morning was done by the old Mishmar, and then the Avodah the rest of the day on Shabbos was done by the new Mishmar, and they would divide up the Lechem HaPanim. They would get part of the Lechem HaPanim, they would get part of the Lechem HaPanim. So the Rambam says, this institution, that the Avodah of the Hakrovas HaKarbonah should be done in the Beis HaMikdash in an organized fashion, it should be the responsibility should be divided among the different mishmaris, as opposed to just saying, "Kol HaKodim Zocha," whoever shows up has the right to be Makir Kohanim. Then it's going to be haphazard. One day you'll have 5,000 Kohanim, another day you'll have 2 Kohanim. No one will come. Everyone goes on vacation. They'll go to Europe. They'll go to Switzerland. So there won't be any Kohanim at all. So the institution that you have the Avodah divided up among 24 families, that's a mitzvah menator. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk Chumash, that's a mitzvah menator. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. What is he talking about? This is a deal that the Kohanim came upon on their own. This is not a mitzvah menator. Menator, there is no such thing. So that's a big question. The Rambam thinks that. The Rambam thinks it wasn't always 24 mishmaris. In the early years, there were hardly any Kohanim. In the days of Aaron HaKohen, there was Aaron just the laws of Isama, that's all, in Pinchas. There were only 4 Kohanim. Aaron HaKohen, the laws of Isama, and Pinchas. And then they had children, okay. But first, so there were no Mishmaris in the Midbar, there were no Mishmaris. So later on, when they had a lot of Kohanim, then they divided up into 4 Mishmaris, 8 Mishmaris, 16, then finally 24. But it wasn't always 24. So the Ramban thinks the whole thing is all an instant, a Takanim of the Rabban. The Ramban thinks no. In principle, that the Hakrovas HaKohanim should be done in an organized fashion, and different groups of Kohanim should have the responsibility to take care of the Kohanim on certain days. The principle is a real diminutive. Okay. Then the Rambam quotes the Mitzvah Lamed Zayin. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Hamor, Kohanim are not permitted to be mitamei lemesim, except it's one of the seven relatives. If it's a brother or a sister, a father or a mother, a son or a daughter, or if it's a spouse. So those are the zayin krovim. So it says, L'chos ha'psula shelo hoysa li'ish, that the kohen has a sister and she was never married yet, she's still a psula, lo yitamo. How do you translate the word lo yitamo? So the Gemara quotes in Soita Daf Gimel Amud Aleph Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, lo yitamo is a rishus. If the kohen wants to, he's permitted to attend the funeral. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva, lo yitamo is a chayva. The kohen is obligated to be mitamei lemeis. And this was a debate generation after generation. They had this same machlokes. Finally, in the days of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, they passed like Rabbi Akiva, and that's it. They didn't keep on going back and forth. They left the dinners like Rabbi Akiva. Lo yitama is a chayva.
About this is about Zayin Krovim, or
yeah, Zayin Krovim. The kohen is obligated to be mitamei to the Zayin Krovim. What if you're not a kohen? What if one is not a kohen? I'm not a kohen. So the Rambam's opinion, this Machlokes Rambam and the Rambam. So the Rambam thinks that mitzvah to be mitamei, you're obligated to be mitamei, only makes sense by a kohen, who's muzer al atuma, here to demonstrate kavod ha'neis, he's mechal kedushas kuna. He has to be mitamei to the seven relatives to demonstrate kavod ha'brius. But if you're not a kohen, being mitamei is irrelevant. There's no avera. So then there's no mitzvah to be mitamei. You're not mechayev to attend the funeral. And the Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. No, the mitzvah to be mitamei is even if you're not a kohen. What is this mitzvah to be mitamei? Lo yitamo. So the Rambam follows the shita sagaonim, that when one observes Avela Shiva, you observe Avelas for 7 days when one of the relatives dies. So the Gemara says many times Avelas is only midirabbanan. So the Rambam follows the Gaonim, who was quoted by the Rif, and Rabbi Yosef Karo passes like this in the Shulchan Aruch, that the first day of Shiva is Avelas Minatur. The rest of the Shiva, the last 6 days, is only midirabbanan. But the first day, Avelas Yom Rishon is deraisa. So the Mechaber Pasuk is like that. The first day of Shiva is deraisa, and the Mokar for Aveh, what is the deraisa? To show Kavod HaBrius. And the Pasuk is this Pasuk, Lo Yitamo. The Pasuk of Rabbi Akiva, Lo Yitamo is a chayva, and this is the obligation to demonstrate Kavod HaBrius. So the Rabbi thinks that the demonstrating Kavod HaBrius, even if you're not a Kohen, you have to participate in the funeral. The Rambam thinks it's only a demonstration of Kavod HaBrius if you are a Kohen. You're not a kohen, it does not apply. But the Rambam says, this pasuk, lo yitamo, is the mocker for the mitzvah of Avelus Yom Rishon Derais. What's the difference, halacha lemaisa, with Avelus Yom Rishon Derais or the Rabbanim? So one might have thought the difference is, what if there's a suffix regarding Avelus? The suffix Derais and the Chumash suffix the Rabbanim Lekula. So that difference is not applicable. That's not correct. Because we have a pasuk that says, Beferish, suffolk Avelus is Lekula, even if Avelus is a Din Derais. Even the Ramban, who follows the Gaonim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa, even the Rambam and the Ramban, that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa, as the Ramban quotes the Chibus HaGaonim, suffolk Avelus Lekula, even on the Yom Rishon. That's a pasuk, just like suffolk Manzer is Mutam and Atara, suffolk Arla B'chutzlerz is Mutam and Atara. So suffolk Avelus Lekula even applies on Avelus Yom Rishon. That's the Rama Mitzvah Lamed Zayin. The Kavod HaBrius is a Din Menatur, yeah.
If a Kohen, if there's a mitzvah, no one else is able to bury their body, is the Kohen still ushered to the body?
If there's no one else to bury the body, a Jewish body, then the Kohen is obligated to bury the top. That's a Meis Mitzvah, yeah.
Even though, what if it's not one of the seven
Kohanim,
you have to do it?
No, still, seven Kohanim, even if there are other people, the Kohen is obligated to participate in the funeral. And if there's no one else to bury the body, then the Kohen is Mitami. That's called the Meis Mitzvah.
Wait, one question. If it's a Kohen God, all right, he's allowed to do a Meis Mitzvah.
Only a Meis Mitzvah, not the
so
seven.
Why can't he call someone? Or like
if he can call someone, if he can call someone, then it's not a Meis Mitzvah.
Not call, but he can send a message. How pressing is the Meis Mitzvah that he should become Tamei for?
If he won't get someone to bury him within a half an hour, then it's called the Meis Mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
But if he can get someone another couple of minutes, then it's not a Meis Mitzvah. Then he'll get someone else. Yes.
So would a Meis Mitzvah apply today when it's very easy to call someone up and get someone to come and bury?
Now we have cell phones. They call up the Chevek Adishan. The kohen will stand there till someone else comes. And then they'll take care of it. Yeah. A prime Soloveitchik was of the opinion, this was a big dispute, most of the Rabbanim, most of his contemporaries did not agree with him. What if there's a Jewish person who is buried by mistake in a non-Jewish cemetery? Is that considered a he's buried. But it's a bizarre and amazed that a Jew should be buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. Is that, does that have the status of a mace mitzvah that the Kohen is allowed in the mitame to remove him from the Goyish cemetery to bury him in a Jewish cemetery? So Chaim Soloveitchik was of the opinion that that's also a mace mitzvah. And the Kohen is allowed in the mitame unless he can get someone else. Kohen is permitted and obligated to be mitame to remove the body and bury him in a Jewish cemetery. Rab Chaim felt that the gap between a Jew and a non-Jew is so vast. He used to, Rab Soloveitchik said, his grandfather Rab Chaim had an expression, there are long bridges and short bridges. Sometimes a bridge makes a gap, you bridge two different locations, they're so far apart. So he had an expression, you cannot build a bridge long enough to bridge the gap between a Jew and a non-Jew. The difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is infinite. Even though we have the same body and the same body temperature and the same, everything is the same, totally different. The Jew and the non-Jew are totally different. You cannot build a bridge so long to bridge the gap between a Jew and a non-Jew. I remember when we were once touring in Europe, so they showed us a bridge, and the tour guide said, this is the longest bridge in the world. It wasn't such a long bridge. So what was the secret? Because the time zone changed. So on one side of the bridge, it was, I think, one day of the week or something. The other day was a different day of the week. Different day of the week. So you walk across the bridge in 20 minutes. But according to there, somewhere in Russia or somewhere in Ukraine or something. So it was a different time zone. It was a different day of the week. So that was the joke, that that's the longest bridge in the world. It's a different day on one side and on the other side. Okay, mitzvah lametches. The Kohen Gadol should marry dafke a besula. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, not allowed to marry a grusha. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a grusha either. Kohen Gadol has to marry a besula. What if a Kohen Hedyot married an almana? He was allowed to, he was a Kohen Hedyot. And then they want to appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. Does he have to get divorced from his wife? Is the Kohen Gadol not allowed to marry, not allowed to be married to an almana? So the Mishnah says, no, he doesn't have to get divorced. If he married Rabbi Heter, he married him when he was a Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an almana. He didn't marry a grusha. So he married almana, then they appoint him later as a Kohen Gadol. So he's allowed to keep his wife. That's called hol v'ishtarya ishtarya. If a couple got married and the wife was materis labailo at the beginning of the marriage, she remains materis throughout. Even though he's appointed as a Kohen Gadol, doesn't pose any problems. Now the Mishnah has a long series of the Rambam, not the Mishnah, the Rambam has a long series of korbanos. Each korban is another mitzvah. Mitzvah lametes is a mitzvah to bring the two tmidim every day. Talmud Shel Shachar, Talmud Shel Bein Ha'Avayim, and the Ramban disagrees earlier, and he says that they should be counted as two mitzvahs, not as one mitzvah. Then he has mitzvah mem, the Kohen Gadol should bring chavit, the Kohen Gadol, half in the morning, half in the evening. Even the Ramban agrees that that's one mitzvah. Because you have to be mekadosh the whole minchas chavitin in a klisharis. The whole, you have to be mekadosh in the morning, and you bring half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So even the Ramban agrees that that's one mitzvah. Okay. Then the Rambam has mitzvah mem aleph to bring the musafim every Shabbos. Then mitzvah mem beis to bring the musafim every Rosh Chodesh. Then mitzvah mem gimel to bring the musafim on Pesach. You don't count every day of Pesach as a different mitzvah. All the 7 days of Pesach you have to bring musafim. Then in addition to the musafim that you bring every day of Pesach, on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach you bring minchas ha'omer. Minchas ha'omer. So that's a separate mitzvah. That's not part of the musafim. That's mitzvah mem dalet. Then on Shavuos, mitzvah mem hei. Mitzvah to bring musafim on Shavuos. Then in addition to the musaf, you have to bring shtei halacha, and that's mitzvah mem vav. Just like omer is a separate mitzvah from the musaf on Pesach, so shtei halacha is a separate mitzvah from the musaf on Shavuos. Then the Rambam has mem zayin, a mitzvah to bring the musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Then mem ches, a mitzvah to bring the musaf on Yom Kippur. Then mitzvah mem tes, there are three different sets of karbanos that you bring on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of the year, so you bring two tmidim. Then Yom Kippur is a yontif, and you bring musafim, mitzvah memches. Then Yom Kippur is a day of mechilas ha'oban, so you bring the karbanos for kapara. The seidu havayda on Yom Kippur. The pasuk says in Parshas Zachar Moshe, the seidu havayda, all the havayda for kapara has to be done by kohen gadol. The Mishnah says the kohen gadol did everything from A to Z on Yom Kippur. Not only did he do the karbanos for kapara, he did the tmidim in it, did the musafim in it, did the three different sets of karbanos. Yom Kippur is a day like every day you need tmidim. Yom Kippur is a yontav, you need musafim, and Yom Kippur is a yom mechilas ha'avayin, so you need the korbanos avaydus hayom for kapara. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes a ritva, very rare. Kesef Mishnah quotes a ritva, who suggests he's not so convinced that the Kohen Gadol has to do all the avaydah Yom Kippur by himself min haTorah. He thinks he only has to do in the Chumash, in Parshas Achrei Moshe, it sounds like you need the Kohen Gadol only for the avaydah, for the kapara, for the mechilas ha'avayin. For the tmidim, the pashtus is, it's a day like every day. You don't need the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, the practice, but the Kohen Gadol did everything. But the pashtus is that's only midirabbanan. Men HaTorah doesn't have to do. And the pashtus is even the musafim on Yom Kippur. It's a yontav like every yontav. Probably you don't need a Kohen Gadol men HaTorah. That's only midirabbanan, that the Kohen Gadol does everything. Then the Rambam says there's a mitzvah nun, very interesting. Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. So the Rambam counts mitzvah nun, it's a mitzvah to bring the musafim the 7 days of sukkahs. Even though every day is a different korban musaf, he counts it as one mitzvah. One mitzvah to bring musafim during the 7 days of sukkahs, then the mitzvah nun aleph to bring the musafim on Shmini Atzeres. Why does he count it as a separate mitzvah? Because the Gemara says Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. The 7 days of sukkahs is one yontif. So he counts all the 7 days as one mitzvah to bring musafim. Even every day was a different set of musafim, the Pori Achag. Every day was a different number of Purim, Purim La'oilu. And Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. So the Rama had this whole series of mitzvahs. Each one is another mitzvah. That's what started with the Tmidim. Mitzvah Lamites through Mitzvah Nun Aleph is a Tmidim of musafim. Everyone is another mitzvah. Then the Rambam counts the next three mitzvahs. Okay, we'll stop here. The next three mitzvahs are Sholosh Regalim, Gimel mitzvahs. The Rambam quotes a Tosefta. That's quoted in the Gemara Chagiga. Gimel mitzvahs that's Tava Yisrael Baliyosim LaRegel that it bring Ria, Chagiga, and Simcha. So that's mitzvah Nun Beis, Nun Gimel, Nun Dalet. The three karbonas that all the Jews have to bring, Sholosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, have to bring Ria, Chagiga, and Simcha. So we'll start with that next time.